Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
I came to the Nowhere Hotel to heal. I tell you this now, so that you better understand my reason for being in my current predicament. A sight and circumstance so maddening that I simply must confess it to someone else while there's still time. I'm writing, alone, shut away in my room, my lounge chair thrust precariously under the door handle, in this dead place, with these tangled ghost halls laid all around me like webs, meandering and winding through the dread heart of the structure. I am alone, I'm afraid, and worse, I fear I'm beginning to lose my mind. If nothing else, this letter, signed as quickly as I can transcribe it, will serve as a warning, a final heed, a last wish. If you find this, please trust my sincerity. Stay away from the Nowhere Hotel. If I recreate this story at the origin, it began, as far as I can collect, from a gentle conversation with one of my oldest friends and colleagues, a Mr. Henry Du Bois, a worldwide literature professor nearly 20 years my senior. We sat together on a gloomy Friday afternoon by the fading brick ledge outside my office at the University of Washington. I told him everything. I told him about my Helen. I told him about the miscarriage, 19 weeks into the pregnancy. I told him how we had already picked a name, Violet, how I could see her, really see her, even though she had never been born. How I had known her somehow and loved her just the same, loved her as my own. I told him how it had deeply changed the woman I loved, how it turned her heart against me, how she wandered restlessly through the house each night, bleary-eyed and distant each morning. I told him how she barely spoke to me anymore, and worse, that I could tell that she blamed me, in some small measure at least. After some considerable thought, and perhaps the greatest pause in conversation I have endured, he mentioned the hotel to me. The Nowhere, nestled so neatly between rock and sea that it looked like it had always been there, grown beam by beam, stone by stone, straight out of the sand itself, towering into those slowly churning winter sea mists that whipped madly across the beach. He told me that years prior, in his youth, he had stayed at the place himself for a long weekend following a bitter engagement with a woman he met at university. He said it was a peaceful property, distinct and set aside from other lodgings on the coast, distant and aloof, alluring in its quiet draw and singular calm. He returned better rested than he had ever felt, well reasoned and prepared to endure the coming disharmonious weeks. I took him at his word. I took his voice, measured and compassionate, of that of a reasoned colleague, a caring companion. I didn't think for an instant that this place, this ancient power and creeping attraction, had influenced his mind just then, worked its black magic, and caused him to say that precise collection of words, designed for me specifically it seemed. Whatever it took to draw me in, carry my ailing and battered mind here, to this dead place, as the sea salt rages against the old windows, even now, bearing down all around, barring me in. I think now that Henry Du Bois has never been to this place. Better yet, I know it. If he had, he would never have left, just like I will never leave. I packed my belongings and left for the coast the following week. I couldn't stand to be at home anymore. I couldn't stand to be with her. Those haunting, shadow looks, the pain and hidden loathing there, I couldn't take it. I felt so alone, vilified. I hadn't hurt the child. I hadn't done anything to deserve this wrath. The gutted, piercing, hollow eyes that seemed to drift in and out and follow me only when they wished. She barely noticed I was leaving. She didn't look up when I closed the door. I was so happy to leave, I didn't think much about my destination. Somewhere, anywhere, was better than this. It had to be. I followed Interstate 5 for nearly 200 miles south and then west, leaning closer with each minute to the sea. The daylight quickly shrank as I neared. the sunlight devoured by an impenetrable and complete darkness. I arrived in somewhat of a trance, I imagine. I had been drifting along the route, numb, passing shadow vehicles, wandering between lanes, barely aware of anything around me, pulled there more than anything if I allow the terrifying honesty of it. It was as if I had been tugged along by a string, moved, steered like some great puppet, my very course and destination foreign to me, forced, ordained by some malevolent power that wanted me and my broken thoughts all to itself, alone. Then I saw it. The building that rose before me was a monolith, a deranged, angular, monstrous form, twisted and narrow, looming, and dangerously unbalanced. And the sign, that illuminated, roaring, screaming crimson sign that pierced and careened oddly through the night, bathing the front lot in deep red. The Nowhere Hotel. I didn't leave my car. I couldn't. I sat for what felt like hours, listening as the bleak winter torrent began to fall against the windshield, knowing, somehow, that I couldn't leave, that it wouldn't let me, and I would be swept from the roads in an instant, and dashed against those horrible, jagged black rocks by the ocean. I gathered my courage and pressed on, up and out of my car, through those incredible red doors, and into the bright lobby, where I was greeted by one of the warmest faces I had ever seen, the warm manager, Harlan. Somehow, he immediately set me at ease. His smile climbed high on his face, and his laugh was light and natural. Curious, I felt on more than one occasion during our conversation that this man was the very place itself, or as close to it as I could estimate, a part of its walls, its being, whatever wickedness was here, that he was an instrument of some kind, one final deceit urging me forward and up to my room. Still, I shook the thoughts from my head. They were ridiculous. I had come all this way, separated myself from my home and the woman I loved, and risked my health and safety to make the perilous journey. I couldn't go home. Not yet. I couldn't face her. Not without some rest, some peace, a chance to gather my thoughts and remind myself that it wasn't my fault, that sometimes bad things happen to good people, that it wasn't meant to be, that somehow we would be okay. We would repair our broken marriage and find a way past this impossible tragedy. I collected my room key, smiled too hard, and felt my feet carry me up the stairs and down the corridor. Warmth and lights were everywhere. Two bright, cheery, glowing orbs welcoming me, forcing me on. I replaced my damp layers and seated myself at the desk by the window. I found myself there for some time, staring into that stirring, ceaseless abyss of water that seemed to seep straight into the inky sky and its nightmare squall, somehow all one. I thought of Helen, of my lovely Violet, sketching her beautiful, tiny face with my mind, where it could never be taken from me, where I could love her and keep her forever, safe, sound. I must have slept then, because I can still not properly configure what happened next. I heard her. My Violet, distant and low at first, but increasing in volume and vigor, calling to me, cooing and crying just outside my room. I was stunned, but forced myself up and toward the noise. I do not know how I understood that it was my daughter. I do not know if this foul place invaded my mind and created the sound itself from thoughts that I had imagined just for her. I guess I will never know. But in that moment, as the sea drowned out the sky, I heard her. My unborn child, who came to me only in dreams, who fit perfectly into the crook of my arms and beamed up at me with such exorbitant love and hope that it ripped my heart in two. I heaved the door open and stared into the corridor. Nothing. The lights had dimmed and flicked with the howls of wind against the old walls. I called out once, hoping for a response, something from the night manager downstairs, a neighboring infant with an adjacent room to set my mind at ease. Nothing. Worse, it felt like my call was silent, squelched into nothing by those meandering, silent walls and strange fixtures that seemed to shift just out of sight. I shut the door quickly and barred it with a nearby lounge chair. My mind was playing tricks on me, of course. Daft delusions brought on by the weary trip and the spirited winter downpour. Still, I couldn't shake that sound, that cry. Violet, as certain as I could be, just beyond the threshold, calling to me, her father, begging me for help, needing me. Shaking, I made tea at the small bar and seated myself on the bed. I was exhausted. Weeks of guilt and pain from Helen, the pervasive loneliness of the hotel room apart from her, from everything. Yes, that was it. Nothing more. Nothing supernatural. I heard her again, coming closer. Only this time, her cry was more urgent. Blood-curdling, terror screams. I thrust my cup aside and ran to the door, kicking the chair away and bracing myself through the entry and into the hallway. The door slammed behind me. I swear to you, it closed by itself. And that cry, that shrill, lurking, horrible squeal changed too. It became something else, something worse. A low, rumbling, growling laugh that bounded happily between the hallway that seemed to stretch into infinity. I turned to run, but my door was gone, replaced with a plain, smooth wall. The jeering, snarling laughter came again, cutting through the rotten air and knifing into my mind. I was too scared to run, at first, to look back down that hallway and see what I knew was coming. What I could feel was speaking to me from down the corridor, inching closer to where I stood with no escape. It groaned, gurgling greedily, breathing with false lungs. And I turned to it, finally, in horror, knowing that it was almost upon me. It was her. Violet. Purple and black, morose and folded all wrong. My miscarriaged, unformed child, dragging herself toward me along the floor with mangled, spindly arms, crying for me with a lopsided mouth, crying for her father. I screamed and forced myself against the wall, collapsing, beating against it, fighting with everything I had to get as far away from that thing as I could, knowing that this place was using my thoughts against me, twisting and distorting my consciousness to bring that evil to life, to ruin and bury me in these very walls. It was inches away, howling madly with a fat, rotting tongue that drug along the ground when I felt the knob. It was still there, my room, hidden by the hotel behind that fake wall that it had built in my mind. I grabbed it and wrenched it free, throwing myself onto the floor and kicking away from the door as it closed behind me. I have been unable to gather myself since, unable to reconcile my misshapen child and that horrible, echoing laugh that seemed to fill and become everything around me. My heart is racing. My mind is spinning out of control with impossibilities, things too difficult to understand. The unyielding knowledge that this place, in some capacity, might have killed my daughter just to bring me here, shattered and alone, ripe to be swallowed whole. I cannot shake the muddled realization that in some way, it chose me, chose my life, my Helen, my Violet, for this very moment, to create the fissure that would ultimately bring me within its walls and destroy me there. I cannot stand the guilt, yet I cannot leave. She is there, just outside the door. I can see a shadow if I look long enough, if I refuse to blink and force my eyes open through tears. I cannot face her again, my failure, my pain, in those long, treacherous hallways that bend and shift out of sight. There is only one way out. One. The window. The night. The sand, the storm, my own end. I cannot go on anymore. Not with this, not alone, not knowing that if I was stronger, maybe she would still be alive. Maybe we could still be happy. I cannot let it kill me. I fear I will live on, as my daughter does, some distorted thing used to haunt and destroy others within these walls. I fear that she is here because I am here. If I can leave, maybe I can save her. Violet. She will not leave my mind. She is always there. She is out of my room. She is waiting for me. I can hear her still. The night calls to me. To the sea.